Welcome to the podcast at Life Community Church in Gilbert, Arizona. To learn more about our church, visit us at lifecommunityaz.com or join us on Sunday mornings at 10:30. I hope you enjoy today's message.
In one sense we are. The Bible just calls that the flesh, but it had an interesting way to put it, which is number one. It takes me to number one in your bulletin. To live below the line is a matter of human nature. Remember, she said it was kind of an evolutionary thing that they said, but we don't have to buy the whole thing. But it's human nature to go below the line. Galatians 5:17 says, "For we naturally love to do evil things." How many of you know it's just more fun to eat pie than broccoli? We naturally love to do evil things that are just the opposite of the things that the Holy Spirit tells us to do. And the good things we want to do, when the Holy Spirit has His way with us, are just the opposite of our natural desires. These two forces within us are constantly fighting each other to win control over us. And our wishes are never free from their pressure. It's the fall of man. It's what comes naturally. It's you just go there. Now, today I've got the list of 10 questions I'm going to ask you. Now, and I want you to answer them as if you're spouse was sitting right there and looking at your answers. Who's ever been in a meeting like this and you answered and you knew if somebody knew you well looked at, they say, "Oh, get a grip. That's not true." Anybody here like that? And so what I've learned to do, because you know, people in church, they're always looking. I always get a code. Let me just tell you, if I'm in a real boring meeting, who's ever been in boring meetings before? You might think you're in one right now. You know, right here, you are. Here, watch, just here we are. No, no, no. If I'm in a real boring meeting that I just can't hardly stand it, I'll start doodling and I'll start making little notes to myself, but I'm afraid somebody from across the table will look at my notes and realize that I've just said boring, so I'll put all kinds of different letters all around it so nobody knows what I'm writing. So you don't have to put answers down, but these are some questions to see how you would answer. Number two. To continue below the line is a matter of routine and awareness. See, I think sometimes we're dysfunctional just because we've always been. I think sometimes we're negative because, after all, that's the way we've always been. Maybe you're raised in a family and they just swear. Who's seen little kids swear and they don't even know they're swearing? Anybody like that? And they don't mean to curse the name of the Lord. It's just how people talk. And so it's not like they're being nasty, and it's just they're not even aware of it. Prejudice are that way. People talk in sometimes a terrible way, and when they get outside their little cloistered community, they realize, oh, this is really inappropriate, and it's just the way they are. So I think sometimes we live below the line just because we're not aware of ourselves, that we're just not aware of what's going on, that it's kind of the way it's always been. Who's been around the good old boy club and it's just the way it is? Well, of course, maybe bigotry would be there. Maybe things against women or against men. Of course, that's just the way it is. And so today I want you to rate yourself. And the truth of it is, if you're below the line, I don't hope to get you out from below the line. I just hope to get you to admit it today. Not publicly, just to yourself. The Bible says if we would just confess, agree with God, that's the first step. Who's ever used the weight thing as being big boned? I've milked that till I can't milk it anymore. I'm not heavy, I'm just big boned. Well, Pastor, it's funny how your big bone kind of laps over your belt line. How many of you know half the deal of a diet is just saying, "Hey, I'm fat"? Half the deal of a budget saying, "I'm tired of being broke." Half the time of being ignorant, you just say, "I need to learn something." And so I've got some interesting questions. I think they're interesting. I've made them up. And as I read the first five, I'm just going to ask them to you. Letter A. Are you most likely to resist new methods and, ideas? Now, I know some personality types are given to resist, and they're just not quick to adapt and say yes. But do you really resist anything new? Not just cautious, but they're just a resistance. I heard about an old guy who was 110 years old, and they were interviewing him, and they said to him, "I bet you've seen a lot of changes in the last 110 years. And the old guy says, yes, and I was again every one of them. Is that you? You know, Jesus said it. He says in Luke 5:39, Jesus says, no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for he says the old is better. Jesus is talking about new wine and the fresh things of the Spirit. And Jesus says, really, but it's human nature. After you've drunk the old, you don't want the new. Seven last words of the church is, we never have done it this way before. Why do they have to do it this way? We've always done it this way. If you're really resistant, you might be below the line. Letter B. Do you find that you're often required to defend yourself? Do you feel attacked often? Well, you don't live with the people I live with, Pastor. Okay, I know I don't. Do you find that you are required to defend yourself? Are you defensive? Somebody comes up and says, what's going on? You say, why? Letter C. Do you basically see the need to always be right at any cost? It's the cutest thing. It happened probably a month, week and a half ago. I was having lunch with a pastor friend. We were in Phoenix, and I said, and we were just chatting, you know, nothing important. And I said, you know, when usually I come here, I always like to go to the salad bar. And so I said to the waitress, I said, I'd take the salad bar. And she says, we don't have one. And my pastor friend said, they've never had one. And I said, well, yes, they have. I've been here with other pastor friends, and I had the salad bar. No, they've never had it. And I said, okay. So then later he says, so you know they never had it. And I said, I just don't want to argue with you. I don't have to be right about whether this place used to have a salad bar. Am I talking about you? You got to be right. And when you're not, you blame other people. Maybe your family of origin is that you find fault with somebody else so that you can be right about yourself. Does that kind of drive you? Drive you to conflict? Confront people unnecessarily? Gossip? Rationalize? The lady on the screen says, if that's you, you're probably below the line liver. Below the line thinker. Letter D. Am I talking to anybody yet? Do you consistently struggle with a poverty mentality? Poverty mentality, Stephen Covey puts it well. Poverty mentality is when you believe the slice of pie, or the pie is limited. And if somebody takes a slice, that means you get less. And so if somebody takes a slice of the pie, then that means there's less that you get. And an abundance mentality says that you believe the pie is unlimited. So if somebody takes a slice of pie, it doesn't mean that you get less. It means that they got some. Now, do you always kind of feel there's just not enough to go around? Not enough love? Not enough money? Not enough time? Not enough energy? It's one of your little mantras, there's just never enough. And it's the government's fault. It's the culture's fault. See, that's where the blame stuff comes in. Is that you? Letter E. Do you often feel the sense of being threatened or alone? Kind of a repeat of the first one. Somebody's always threatening you. See, I'm not getting political here, but it's amazing how focused we are on ISIS. Illegal immigration. Global warming. My God, the Democrats or the Republicans are all going to get us. Are you threatened a lot? Do you feel isolated and alone? The little lady on the screen says you're probably a below-the-ground thinker. See, and it's hard to know what are real threats than what are threats to our ego. We need to look bad. By talking to the right people. That's below-the-line thinking. And that'll take creativity away. It'll take innovation away. So let's go to point number three. To live above the line, to live above the line living is often a matter of skill and choice. See, I don't think above the line thinking is just, come on now, you ought to do it, is motivation. I think people do what they do because they don't know how to do any better. People have relationship problems because they don't have the skill to get along with each other. It's not a matter of desire. People have problems with their children because they don't know how to talk to teenagers. Don't know how to listen well. So they have these kinds of issues, and so they just don't get any better. And I think it's not a matter of just not loving your children, not loving your spouse. I'm telling you what, if you're going to be a happily married man, it takes some skills that you better learn. Amen? Ladies, you just missed a shot right there. You're going to say, amen. Ladies, you're going to live with this guy. That's not just a matter of you need to be more dedicated and you need to pray more and read your Bible more and you need to go to church more. No. There are some skills. And I think the choice is to learn the skill that it requires. How many teenagers are different breeds of animals than the rest of us are? For us old guys, millennials are a different breed. And so it takes skill. So it's just not a matter of getting more dedicated and praying more and reading your Bible more. Those things are very important. There's skill and a choice. How many know you're going to have to learn how to listen? You're going to learn how to speak. You're going to learn how to wait. Who's ever waited for somebody and got so mad while you were waiting? When they finally did get there, you weren't a happy camper. What is it? It's a skill, guys. So let's go through the little list here. Letter A. Are you open to discover possibilities, creativity, and innovation? The word in a nutshell is, are you curious? The wonderment of a child. Or if you've been around long enough that you know how the deal works and you're kind of cynical. If you are, you're but below the line. Jesus says, unless you convert, change, process, and become like a child, he said it's going to be hard to really move into the next level of life. So what about you? Open to learning things differently? Creativity, possibilities, innovation? Letter B. Do you have the capacity to listen deeply? And to speak unarguably. Do you ever know anybody that just when they talk, they just solicit an argument? Maybe some of you live with people like that. But everything's an argument. Everything is a fight. People above the line aren't defensive like that. They're not attacking like that. Listen deeply. And again, we were talking around the office. We're not talking to some dude on the street that wants to take 3 hours of your time and you listen deeply. No. For those relationships that require you to be really deeply connected, can you do that? Or the whole time they're talking, are you thinking what you're going to say as soon as they shut up? Anybody know what I'm talking about? As they're going on and on and on. I tell you a great line. To say, is there anything more? One time my wife was giving me the what for, and I was learning some skills of not giving it right back. And when she was done, I said, honey, is there anything more you'd like to say? And she said, she says, don't you pastor me. Because she knew what I was doing. Listen deeply. What is it? It's a skill. To speak unargumentatively. See, in people that have this need, more than just want to know how what's going on, the need to be right. Letter C. Is being right more important than learning and developing yourself? I was in a meeting not long ago, and one of the people said in the meeting, and I was involved in the way it was done, the previous thing, said, this was done all wrong. And something in me just rose up and said, yeah, it says you. And then as he talked, I realized, yeah, we had done some wrong thing. Make. Whether I was going to argue back to defend my way or to say, you know, you've got a good point there. Now, how about us? The natural reaction. See, the natural reaction, guys, is go right below the line, fire right back. And the guy with the loudest voice yells, wins. But is being right more important than learning and developing yourself? Asking for help. Gentlemen, asking for directions. Honestly saying, I don't know what to do here. Or do you have to be in charge every time? If you do, that's below the line stuff, guys. And life will be really tough for you. Letter D. Do you see other people as allies or competition? Are the other guys the enemies? The other churches, are they the enemies? Are they the ones that are out to get us? No, they're not. See, it's how do you see loss? Is it they took something from me? Are we able to give something to someone else? Helped me tremendously. Todd and Melinda Carter. Been at Life Community for 20 plus years. I performed their wedding ceremony 100 years ago. But they live in Queen Valley. You know where Queen Valley is? It's halfway to Globe. And they've been driving in an hour or so one way to church for 20 years. And they came to me last week, and I appreciate you coming to me. And they said, Pastor, it's just too far to drive in and have our daughter get involved in Sunday school and kids' activities and all that kind of stuff. So we found a church in Apache Junction that we're going to start going to that. And my first response was, good for you. It's not that I'm the hero. I'm saying this partially, guys. Listen to me. Jesus tells this neat story about 99. One was gone. And so the shepherd goes out to look for the one that was missing. And part of the whole issue of that is the other 99 were watching to see how the one was treated. So we want the rest of you to stay forever. But if you don't, I know a lot of churches, you're just blackballed. You're just counted a sinner and a evil person. And that's not true, especially of the Carters. Melinda, we appreciate all the ministry you've done with the music. Told them last week that Danny had to come back every Christmas and play the little violin thing that she does. But it really is, it's above the line thinking. And it makes a difference in every part of your life. The reason some people just don't give is they don't think there's going to be any more. And so they're just stymied. They're paralyzed. And it's below the line thinking that does that. So are people your allies or your competition? Well, they're out to take my share of the pie. You're below the line. And that's really going to make you and the people around you suffer deeply. And letter E. Do you see life as enjoyable and play or hard work and chores? Is life enjoyable? Well, Pastor, there's really hard. It's hot outside. And I know. But basically, is life enjoyable in play? Or is it hard work and chores and obligations and duties? And I'll tell you what, you gotta live. Do you look at life as it comes to you and you can catch it? Or that you have to grasp it and hold on and cling and all that kind of stuff? Instead of Jesus, he said he didn't regard equality with God as something to be grasped, clung onto. But he released that. And when he did, God exalted him and gave him a name that above every other name. Do you think that life is that way for you? Or do you have to cling and grab for everything you have? Or do you believe that life comes to you? See, I think it's the difference between above the line and below the line thinking. And I could have private conversations with you, and you may perhaps would argue with me how you're such an above the line thinker, and maybe you are. I'm not saying that you're not. And maybe someone else could argue that you're not. I'm not trying to get a public statement out of anybody. I would like for you to do some honest inventory of maybe you're below the line. Maybe that's why you are so fearful. Maybe that's why you fight with people. Maybe that's why your kids can't stand you. Maybe that's why you have such a relationship and you don't seem to get the breaks. That just these people are dumb lucky. How come they? There's reasons for that. And it's not all these that people are so spiritual and pray all the time and all. There's reasons for that. That the blessing of life, the blessing of the Lord, comes to people and it seems to evade others. And I think it's above the line, below the line thinking. Now I want to play the video again. And Jeremiah, come, let's get ready to wrap it up. Go ahead and roll the video again, Austin.
Location brought to you by the Conscious Leadership Group. Find them on the web at www.conscious.is. Animation by Graham Franks, www.grahamfranks.com. One question that conscious leaders ask themselves over and over is, where am I? To support leaders in locating themselves as they ask the question, where am I? We offer this tool, a line, a simple black line. At any moment, all leaders and all people are either above the line or below the line. Our location describes how we're being with what is occurring in our life right now. If we're above the line, we are open, curious, and committed to learning. If we are below the line, we are closed, defensive, and committed to being right. Stop right now and simply ask yourself, where am I? In this now moment, am I above the line or below the line? Typically, when people are below the line, they believe certain things about the world. For example, they believe there is not enough. It could be that there's not enough money, or time, or space, or energy, or love. People below the line also believe that their story about the situation is right. People below the line also believe that there is a threat out there. Something or someone is threatening their desire for approval, control, or security. And people below the line see the situation as serious. The deeper below the line they are, the more serious things look. People below the line tend to behave certain ways as well. They tend to cling to an opinion, find fault and blame, gossip, explain, rationalize and justify, get overwhelmed, and avoid conflict or pursue conflict for the sake of winning. When people are above the line, they believe that learning and growing are more important than being right. They believe that all people and circumstances are their allies, here for their growth. They believe that from a distance, almost everything is funny. People above the line live in curiosity, listen deeply, speak unarguably, question all their beliefs, and live a life of play. Now, knowing what you know about being above or below the line, where are you? One thing to know as you consider this question. We are hardwired to go below the line. Literally, our brain is programmed to perceive threat. And when it does, a chemical cocktail courses through our veins, and we go below the line. This reaction was designed to help us survive in the presence of a real threat to our physical survival. An issue for modern-day leaders is that often our brains can't tell the difference between a threat to our physical survival and a threat to our ego or identity. We react and get defensive when we experience a threat to our ego. So in many ways, being below the line is natural and normal. But when we are below the line, we're not in a state, literally brain state, of high creativity, collaboration, innovation, and relational connection. We're simply trying to survive. Leaders today can't thrive if they're in survival mode. So the first activity of conscious leadership is location, location, location. In this now moment, where am I? Telling ourselves and others the truth about our current location begins the great conversation.
So where are you?
put it on the screen often, the deeper below the line we go, the more serious disconnect we experience. Some people just disconnect from reality. Some people just disconnect from relationships. That's why some people live in the same house and they're married and they're not even related. There's nothing there. You know why? They've gone way below the line. And it's easy to blame your spouse, your partner, your kids, you know, the young people of today. Now, if this were a secular leadership meeting, I'd say something like, become aware of your routine. Make the choice and learn new skills. But the truth of it is, this is not a secular leadership gathering. This is not a motivational speech. We are a church. And it is the gospel of Jesus that we think is the answer to everything. Human nature runs below the line. And if you've let your human nature have its way, I'll guarantee you, you're down there. Probably very critical. Because you're probably very threatened. Look at the front of your bulletin there. Believe your story is right. Not even sure where these fears and things come from. Forget curiosity. It's a matter of survival. Forget creativity. So Jesus came to save us and do for us what we could not do for ourselves. Yeah, it's a matter about learning new stuff, getting some skills down. That in of itself is not going to take you far above the line for long. I think a lot of folks, they would if they could, but they can't. Nobody starts out to hopefully someday have a lousy marriage. Nobody starts out to hope they someday raise kids that won't speak to you. Nobody ever starts that way. But one or another goes below the line, the other one to whatever goes below the line with them, and then you have chaos. And Jesus doesn't want that for you. I know we live in a chaotic world. You don't have to listen to politics very long to know that it's way below the line. To our culture very long to know that it's way below the line. So the gospel says that you be different. You shine like stars, like bright lights in the middle of a crooked and perverse generation. So it's not just a motivation to get above the line and stay there. No, it's the power of Jesus to help you do that, to transform you. Not just to make a promise today, boy, from now on, I tell you what, See, I think sometimes we misunderstand Christianity as kind of a thing where we're going to reboot our will. Well, from now on, I tell you, I'm going to try harder. And really and truly, Christianity is saying, Lord, I cannot. Lord Jesus, it is beyond me. Maybe it's my family of origin. Maybe it's my ethnic background. Maybe because I'm a little wired, screwy in the head. Maybe. But regardless of the problem, Jesus himself is the answer. So Paul in Romans 7, the Message Bible puts it well. Let me read it to you. Kind of a lengthy reading. He says, I can anticipate the response that is coming. I know all God's commands are spiritual, but I am not. Isn't this also your experience? Yes, I'm full of myself. After all, I spent a long time in sin's prison. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way and then I act another.
doing things I absolutely despise. So if I can't be trusted to figure out what's best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's commands are necessary. Verse 17 of Romans 7, but I need something more. For I know the law, but can't keep it. And if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are just a result in actions. Just don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me, and it gets the better of me every time. It happens so regularly, Paul says, that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel just when I least expect it, and they take charge. I've tried everything, and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. It seems there is no one who can do anything for me. Isn't that the real question? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions, where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, and I am pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. Paul said, I'm to the end of my rope. I know what I should be doing, but I end up not doing that. He said, I'm at the end of my rope. What do I need? More knowledge? More motivation? Perhaps more condemnation? More accountability? You just need someone to watch you closer. Paul says, no, I really need Jesus to help me. It's not more promises. It's not more next time I'll do betters. It's, Lord Jesus, I desperately need you. And that is the message of the gospel. That Jesus came and he died. That you don't have to live below the line forever. That doesn't have to be your fate forever. There's nothing said about you forever. A good guy just lived below the line. So that's what I'm challenging you today. If you're a below the line guy or gal, it's not to inflict guilt. It's to say, Lord, here I am. Old timers would call it being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Lord. To see possibilities in everything. To let that childlike thing of curiosity about life, the wonderment of it all, the appreciation of the difference, instead of this need to conform everybody to my way of thinking. Jesus wants to make you free. He really does. You've got next step cards in your hand. And I'm asking you to respond, whatever the Lord's talking to you about. Maybe it has nothing to do with what I talked about, but if you're a below the line thinker, what's God talking to you about? What's your next step? Put it there. Ushers are going to come in a little while and they'll collect it. Let's let Jesus help us be above the line people. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful people that are here this morning. Lord, that you have called and chosen to be your own sons and daughters. Lord, even more to represent you as your hands, your feet, your body. to a culture that's so far below the line that we become afraid of our own shadows. Father, I pray for these, your people. Jesus' strong name.